Hello, everyone, and welcome in once again to the Talking Puck Podcast. Tom Callahan, Mike Haynes here with you. Please give us a follow on Twitter. I'm at Callahan on air. Mike is at BusterTheDog33. And as part of today's Talking Puck Podcast, we're going to talk a little specific, but kind of general about what's going on with coaching changes, front office changes in the NHL. But we start with teams where things are happening: Montreal, Vancouver, and Philadelphia. There's a lot to unpack in all of these moves, I think, no matter which team you're going to start with. So I'll let you pick whichever example you want to go with. But man, there's a lot of early season movement here.
Well, you left a team out, too, who changed their coach. Chicago.
Oh, that's right. Chicago. That happened so long ago.
Yeah, that's right. And different circumstances, obviously.
Yes.
The ones that you just mentioned, those three. In Montreal, Vancouver, and Philly, those were related to what was going on the ice, mostly. I mean, I think that was the case in Chicago, but there was just stuff going on there in Chicago, and yeah. But they were not playing well there either. So you might put them in that category. We've already had four coaches gone because of what was happening on the ice, and you know, I want to talk about. You know, do you think that each of these were justified? What team do you think, Tom, is going to benefit the most out of this change? And then is this something that's just happening this year before already around game 20, between 20 and 25? Is this unusual? Or is this faster, the trigger getting pulled than it used to be? So I don't know. Let's start with which one do you think was most justified?
Oh, man, that's I can argue equally for Vancouver and Philadelphia. And it's interesting. Montreal did it the way I would do it. They've changed the GM and may or may not change the coach, which, by the way, I think they will. Philadelphia and Vancouver. So I'll start with the Canucks. Bruce Boudreau comes in and is tasked with turning around a Canucks team that, in my opinion, I thought was going to be a playoff team this year, or at least competing, not dead last. I didn't see this as a bad Canucks team. I thought they were settled in net with Demko. They had a nice cast of characters. I thought OEL was an expensive and unnecessary addition, but he didn't make them worse. It just meant they were spending more than I thought they needed to. So I'm looking at this Canucks team thinking, these guys are better than that. So now maybe this will turn it around, and in turn, then, you know, okay, so Benning's out, Smeal is in. I want to talk about Smeal, too, because I think he's a bit of a feel-good, you know? Mm-hmm. He's associated with that 82 Stanley Cup run for the Canucks, the old Flying V jerseys, which I love. You end up trying to bring him in, and a great intro. I think fans get the sense that he's not going to stand for any nonsense. He is a Canuck through and through, which is a move I think really buys them time. But I wonder how much of an impact is he going to be able to have. And it's not like you brought in a Canucks name, but you didn't bring in a guy who knows who's been like a successful GM for 20 years. Not that those guys grow on trees, but you know what I mean. So it's going to be an interesting new direction. Philadelphia, long overdue. This team we've been talking about for years. What's going on with them? I'm surprised Vigneault lasted as long as he did. But Mike, my point to you was, as we were getting ready to record, money. I think it's purely money is the reason why Philadelphia and other teams are hesitant to pull the trigger on coaching changes. They look at those giant contracts that coaches get now, and they think, man, that's owners. Owners think, man, that's an awful lot of money to have to dole out to somebody who's sitting at home with his feet up eating pretzels.
Will the... Okay, so I'm with you. I think I'm torn more between Vancouver and Chicago as justification for having to make the move. You know, the kid in Chicago didn't get much of a chance, but boy, that team looked horrible, didn't they, at the beginning
of the season?
They were bad. There was something really wrong. I don't know whether the carousel now keeps moving Does Vigneault, who is French Canadian, does he go? Can he go up to Montreal? No, you know.
Does Montreal want him?
I don't know. Well, did you see Michel Therrien was also let go by Philly? So there's another former head coach for Montreal out. I don't know. So I don't think they're bringing him back. You know, Chicago, I think, has played better. They have done some good things since they made their change. Montreal, I think that remains to be seen. I think Boudreau will do a very good job in Vancouver. I just think he's a really good coach. Now, you got another retread happening in Philly. How do you think that that's going to – do you think anything's going to change there? He's a coach who – had some success in Minnesota, not great, but he had some. What do you think about there in Philly? Do you think that is going to change?
Yeah, so you put in Mike Yeo, and I think that is short-term stability in that the guy has already been an NHL head coach. Mm-hmm. They do have an interim tag on him. That's probably the right way to proceed. And at this point, I feel like the Flyers, who are on the outside looking in by, as of today's recording, 9 points. This is an audition for Mike Yeo. Do I think he's the guy? As you said, I mean, you look at him and you're not blown away by his track record, right?
No.
You're like, I mean, he's okay. But right. Is okay better than what they were getting? And here's the other thing, too, that I wonder about as well. When coaches have been in a certain place for a long time, and Mike, you and I have seen this, sometimes the message just gets stale. Oh. It's fallen on deaf ears, and you have to change it because no one's listening.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if it has changed in the last 5 years, but I can recall the stat 5 years ago that hockey coaches lasted shorter as a head coach or a team than any other sport. They were the fastest to be let to have a change happen. And I know that stat. I know that stat, that was a stat 5 years ago. I don't know if things have changed since then. But if anything, hockey has that mentality of making that quick change. Now you think the money maybe is changing things because since Babcock got his money, Quenneville got his money, that raised the bar a lot. I think Babcock really raised the bar.
Yes.
Around the league. And then Quenneville got serious cash too. And then all of a sudden, it's a pretty lucrative position. And I agree with you. I think owners are less inclined to pull that trigger fast when they've got, like Vigneault, it's got 2.5 years left on a 5-year contract. That's a lot of money. That owner has to pay for nothing. You get nothing back. You know, sometimes they take a coach like that and they say, oh, well, now you're going to scout. You're going to be in the office. But I hardly think that is a good situation sometimes. But owners hate to see money get wasted, don't they?
They do.
So I think, my opinion, I think Vancouver will end up doing the best out of these four that we're talking about, just because I think Boudreau is the best of the new coaches.
And I do agree with that. I think Boudreau is the best of the guys who've been hired so far. It's really starting to feel like, to me, the Canadians are going to give Ducharme some more room to roam, though, and try to recapture his playoff magic. I don't know if he can. I was talking with a former player that I know who did play under Ducharme in juniors and, you know, said that he was a pretty successful coach and he did a good job and kind of had the team go in the right direction, liked playing under the guy. But, you know, obviously junior different from the NHL, and that was a long time ago. But it's interesting to hear from, you know, different perspectives of maybe Ducharme does need a little bit. And who knows what the relationship was with Bergevin as far as player input or roster control or any of that stuff. Will it change now? I don't think we know that yet, but you have to imagine something is going to change. And of course, look, no Carey Price is tough for that Montreal team because Price is a guy who can carry that team a long way and just really hasn't, unfortunately for him. So I'd like to see things improve with a lot of these teams. Now, here's the interesting part, Mike. We talked about this a little bit on Sunday night. Looking at teams that might be making a change soon, The ones at the bottom that haven't already, Arizona, Seattle, obviously, Los Angeles, San Jose, Nashville's kind of in and out, but they're only a point out of the playoffs. Buffalo, Ottawa, the Islanders, New Jersey, Philly did make a change in Columbus. So those are kind of the out of the playoff teams right now. Do you even, and I'll take Nashville off that list because really it's Chicago and Arizona that are the laughing stocks there, but Chicago's getting better. I don't see Arizona making a change.
No,
speaking
no,
of money.
They've thrown in the towel already this year, haven't they? They're not making a change to start winning.
Right.
that's not their goal this year.
Yeah.
I think they want that number one pick, and they're willing to just sacrifice the season for it.
L.A. Is kind of out of it. San Jose, but San Jose is only a point out. L.A. is really only 4 points out. Seattle obviously is not going to change anything in year one.
No.
Ottawa, sometimes I'd like to kind of sweep all of Ottawa into the trash and start over for the Senators, but in a way, I kind of feel like they are what they are, and that's going to be their season.
Yeah. So what do you think? Is there anybody that's on deck?
You know, I almost don't want to bring this up, but
yeah,
the Islanders. What's going on with the Islanders? Barry Trotz is such a good head coach. He finally got his cup in Washington. He's had the Islanders in a spot where they've been very just competitive. A team that I thought would go to the cup final a couple of times in the last year because they're a tough team to play against. Still can't quite get it going. Look, I understand the timing of injuries and things that are going on. Anders Lee has been all but disappeared this season. What's going on in Long Island? I thought maybe, oh, they're going to play at home now. They'll kind of get it going. Guess what? It's not really working out for them just yet. They're struggling.
And the other part of it is, if history tells you anything, Lou Lamoriello is not afraid to make coaching changes.
No.
It was a revolving door a little bit, and with some success. I'm trying to think of the order of it. I'm trying to think, and is it 2001 when he made that change late in the season and brought the Larry Robinson? I don't know if I have the year right. I think that's correct. But he's not afraid to make changes. But
right.
I would imagine Trotz has got a pretty good contract there.
He does, and yeah. That would give pause.
Mm-hmm. But Lou is he does not. Take over. I can't imagine he takes over something without having a lot of power. And if he's getting a sense that he doesn't put up with losing very well. And if he feels this ship is not going to right itself, I would not be shocked if he decided just as something to just prod the team to make a change. But boy, that's you're taking the reins away from a very good coach who's had success.
And I do know, Mike, that we have often conversations with our Buffalo friends about this on the show, but Don Granato's not going anywhere. I don't think Buffalo's making a change. Granato is there. The players, for the most part, seem to like him. No, they're not having a great season, but again, that's something that maybe a quality goaltender would really help, and they just don't have that. They have some pieces. I don't think they have enough to overcome a Boston, Tampa, Toronto, Florida, and you got to hand it to Detroit. I know you won't, but I will. They're still hanging in the top four somehow. The Red Wings are ahead of schedule, so that's tough.
I'm sure the wheels will come off.
Right, yes. The winged wheels will come off.
Wing wheel. I know. I was going to say that. You took it away from me.
We've been doing this together too long. We're the same jokes.
By the way, Don Granato, is there a nicer family in hockey than the Granatos? Tony Granato may be the nicest person you've ever met in hockey. Cammy Granato is just a sweetheart. Don's a great guy. Their whole family. Tony was coaching here in Denver, and his parents are coming. It is truly, I'm not kidding, Tom. It may be the nicest family in all of hockey. Great, well, great people. Really nice people.
And
I'm rooting for him in Buffalo. I hope it goes well for him there.
Well, that counts for something. And especially in certain I think smaller markets, especially in Buffalo, that will play well. You know what I mean? That people may not care about that in Boston, but I think in a town like Buffalo, they would care about that. So, I don't know. It's going to be interesting for me. I'm kind of looking now, Mike, at mid-pack teams, wondering the underachievers. Is Boston an underachiever at this point of the season? Is that a team you're looking at? Go, man, these guys should be so much better. Winnipeg is in a weird logjam. The Western, the Central Division of the Western Conference is weird. Colorado, Dallas, Winnipeg, St. Louis, and Nashville are all within a point of each other. 28-27. That's 2-6. Would one of those teams with a spark break out a little bit? I know Vegas isn't going to change anything. Anaheim is overachieving, if anything. You know, it's, I don't know. I'm kind of curious to see if anything would happen in the Central, but I feel like, again, talking about teams being loath to make changes when things are kind of just good enough and you're hoping to heat up in the second half of the season or make a stretch run after Christmas. I just, maybe this is it for now.
Yeah. In terms of changes for the coaches.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would probably have to be a case of maybe a top four team just going into a nosedive and some panic sets in. You got to do something. Sure. That might be the only case. But I don't know. This is four very interesting ones, and you know, spread out over the different divisions. And I am going to be curious to watch. You know, a lot of times. You can look at the first few games for a team. Usually, it's a pretty good reaction. Yeah, I think the record, if you're going to go to Vegas and bet, you always want to bet on that first game, you know, after a coaching change. Generally, it works well. And there's a little bit of a spurt from teams after they make a change. They want to impress the new coach. They just want to show as players that they want, if you haven't been getting ice time, that you want more, or if you've had it, you know, that you deserve it. So usually there's a pretty good spurt right away after a coaching change. We saw that in Chicago.
Sure.
And so we'll keep our eye out on what's going on there in Vancouver and Philly and Montreal.
Also, if Florida does cool down at all, but man, 7 of their last 10. And by the way, this is a fun little tidbit, best home ice record in the NHL. They're 14-1.
That's amazing.
At home.
Amazing. I know. It's become a place to go watch games. It's great. It's good for the league. It's great.
Absolutely.
And you know what? I'm glad they're doing well. That's good. And it's a shame what happened with the coach there. And I wondered if Andrew Burnett in his first ever head coaching job would be able to do it, but boy, they are a talented group. That's a really talented team, and that's a team that you gotta think is going to contend for that Eastern Conference.
Well, they better. If they're anything less than a contender by the end of the year, that's crushing disappointment.
Huge.
Absolutely. All right. Well, I guess that'll do it for our look at the coaching changes. Who's next? What do you think? Let us know. Reach out to us on Twitter at Callahan on Air, at Buster the Dog 33. And of course, Mike and I always take your thoughts and your questions on Sunday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern time with Talking Puck TV. And Mike, I don't know. I think maybe do you think the dust is settled? I'm going to say I think the dust is settled for a little while.
For a while, but in the NHL, it never settles completely. There will be another change. There's just so much competition and so much at stake that I'd be shocked if there's not another coaching change at some point.
All right. Well, join us for our next edition of the podcast. Please like, follow, subscribe. We appreciate you listening in, and we will talk to you next time.